You have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. We are thankful again to be here this morning. Thank the Lord has blessed and spared us where we can have our health and strength to be in the house of the Lord. And we thank those that will pull up outside as well. 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. But there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. We're going to cease reading with these verses this morning. I want you to notice about old Noah. We all know Noah. Been taught that since we were children, even probably in Bible school. We probably had at least one lesson that would be on Noah and the ark. I know recently probably have as well, but Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So whenever I see him, I always have him pictured with a hammer in his hand. And he's always building the ark, but I believe he's doing that with one hand and he's preaching with the other. He was a preacher of righteousness. And I believe with all my heart, that just lets us know Noah tried to get everyone aboard the ark. You know, God didn't just pick out some and just condemn all the others. He gave others a chance. He gave them opportunity. I believe Noah preached the truth to them and let them know what God had told him. You know, he preached God's truth to anyone that would listen, I believe. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness. So he preached the truth, and he let them know, no doubt, that destruction is coming, that you need to get ready. You need to come and get on board the ark. And I believe if you study the ark very closely, you'll see, no doubt, that's a type of Christ and salvation through Christ. But men, no doubt, even in that day, and I know they didn't have the Bible the way that we do, but the Lord says that they were without excuse. That you could look at creation even and know that there has to be a creator. We live in such a foolish time. A time where men claim to be smart and knowledgeable and yet say there's no God. You cannot look out into this world, into creation, and say there's no creator. If you do that, you're foolish. The Bible says you are. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so many smart people that claim there's no God, really, they're not smart at all. They're foolish according to God, who gave us all any knowledge, wisdom that we have. He gave us our own abilities, and, you know, he made us. So he is the creator. So even in this day, men could look at creation and see that there has to be a creator. And yet they made a decision. They chose not to see him. The imaginations of their heart was on evil continually. That's what they chose to do. They just chose to think about evil things. It's more fun to think about the evil things. It's more fun just do what I want. It's just humanity to want to entertain ourselves and want to, you know, get the most out of this life. And so making a choice to deny God. And here you have a preacher that's preaching righteousness to them. Preaching about certain destruction that's coming their way. And they could hear the words of that old preacher, and they could have believed, and I believe that the Lord would have let them on the ark. Said, well, there wasn't enough room. I believe God would have made room. That's what I believe. And again, I don't know how much room they had left over when he got all the animals on. But I believe God would have made room for any of humanity that wanted to be on the ark. But he saved just Noah and his family because they are the ones that believed. The only ones on earth that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so you have this man that's living a righteous life in the midst of a very crooked, perverse, troubled world. He's striving to do what's right. He's trusting the Lord day by day. So by this time, you have this man, he's preaching the truth. And he's trying to warn others. But by this time, false prophets, Bible said there were false prophets among the people. And he says, just as false teachers shall be among you. So Brother Ryan, that gives me warning today that there's going to be people trying to teach me false things. There's going to be people among our own that's going to try to persuade us not to trust the Lord. Try to turn us from the truth. And I believe we see it everywhere you look. People try to get you to believe their opinion and their idea. And many times, and I'm not saying people don't have good ideas and good opinions. And I'm not saying I've got everything right. But whenever you try to turn me from the truth, you're in the way. When you try to turn me from the truth, that is false teaching and it needs to be called out for such. It's wrong. It's perverse. It's ungodly. And we need to call that out. And so, by this time you have this man, he's preaching the truth, but you have all these false prophets that are prophesying, no doubt, false things. And just like we have today, false teachers that try to tell us things that are not so. And the Bible said they brought in damnable heresies. What in the world does that mean? That sounds bad. It is bad. That means that is a belief that is contrary to the life-saving doctrine that would cause a person to perish. False teachers would turn people into destruction from salvation. The ark is salvation. We're going to turn you from the truth. And so that's what Noah had to deal with and all the people of the world had to deal with. All these false ideas. These false prophecies that come their way. And it did. It damned them. It caused them to certainly be destroyed. And so false teachers turned them into destruction. And no doubt they would speak evil of the truth. That's what the Lord says. And they would speak evil of the truth. So what does that look like exactly? Don't you think it means that whenever people saw Noah, and I don't know why I kind of have him pictured at a pulpit. I know he didn't have church, but there he is. He's preaching to them that it's going to rain. God that created the world has called us to repentance, and he wants you to turn from your wickedness and be saved. Come get on the ark. And as he would do this, no doubt that you'd have others that would say, Oh, Noah is crazy. He's crazy. He's babbling on about rain. That man's never seen rain before, and he's babbling on about it. He's up there shouting about it and trying to scare everybody to death. And he's never seen rain before. Have you ever seen rain before? Of course, in that day, nobody's ever seen rain. He's never seen rain before. Don't you know the fact checkers of that day would, they just went crazy over it. Rain. Is there such thing as rain? No. Will there be any rain? No. Is Noah crazy? Absolutely. He's crazy. Fact checkers, be all over that. He's preaching from what he claims to be the Word of God. God doesn't even exist. Again, you have false prophets, and they are turning people from the truth. God does not even exist. I don't know. They may have thought we come from apes or monkeys, and that may be a little more modern for them. They may have thought we come from camels. I don't know. No doubt, you know, God does not exist. And it may be that some of them say, well, I tell you what, the sun God is shining brightly today, and that shows us that it's not going to rain. You don't see a cloud in the sky. There's no rain going to fall, no water going to fall out of the sky, because the sun God is there and it's shining brightly. And so the sun God contradicts Noah's God. And again, in that day, they're very heavy to worship the sun and the moon and all these other things of nature. Just like today, we may have more modern versions of that kind of stuff, but it's the same. Just repackaged. So, know that he's here and he's preaching the truth, and he's preaching with a very convicted heart and a very troubled heart, and he's trying with all of his might, with the ability God has given him, led of the Spirit of God, to preach to them the truth, and the majority speak out, that man is crazy. The evidence points to sunny skies. I'll tell you this morning, if God says it's going to rain, the whole world can be against it. It's still going to rain. There's just no other way around it. If God says it, that settles it. Somebody says, God says it, I believe it, that settles it. But look, if God says it, it settles it whether you believe it or not. And God said it's going to rain. And you have a faithful man of God that's preaching, it's going to rain. And you have people, no doubt, that are speaking against him and saying, don't believe what that man says. And they, you need to live life to the fullest. You need to do what makes you happy. You need to do what makes you successful. Bible lets us know in his day, men were marrying and giving in marriage and, just going on having a jolly old time, just living life up, doing what they wanted to do. In the end, they perished because they didn't believe the truth. I think about the Apostle Paul. No doubt, imprisoned, and later on, they put him on a boat and going to take him unto Caesar. And they get to a certain place, and when they spend a little too much time there, they say, we're going to get on the ship and go on our way. And Paul said, I perceive that if we get on the boat, there's going to be much harm, not just to the ship, but to our lives also. And he tries to convince, no doubt, that the Lord has settled his heart. We should not get on this boat right now. It's dangerous for us to do that. And he turns to the old centurion, and he tries to convince him. And the centurion, I believe, somewhat believes him. Because it says he believed the master and owner of the ship more than he believed Paul. Now get this. And when the south wind blew softly. Well, I mean, my goodness, if you ever needed a sign, there it is. Paul, you're telling us we shouldn't get on the ship, but we just had a sign that we should get on the ship. I mean, the wind's blowing just right. That's what you want if you're going to sail. When the south wind blew softly. There's a lot of people, that's what they're going on. Whichever way the wind's blowing. Whatever feels right at the time, whatever just makes the most sense to me. And yet, what does God say? We're God's people. We need to be settled on thus saith the Word of God. And not thus saith what everybody thinks and what the majority thinks and what the smart folks in the world think. And look, in no way am I trying to say that there's anything wrong with education. It is good in its place, and it's good when you use it to bring God glory. But when you use it to try to tear down the Word of God and try to make your way sound right, it's wrong. It's wrong. When the south wind blew softly. Well, if you ever needed a sign, there it is right there. Everyone knows that you sail when the wind is blowing softly. So why believe this old foolish preacher, this old foolish man that, I mean, my goodness, Paul is a prisoner because he's crazy. Remember what Festus said about him whenever Festus got up and was preaching to he and King Agrippa. And, I believe it was Festus that stepped up and said, "Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. You're crazy. Listen to what you're saying. You're calling a man Jesus like he's the one everybody's waiting on, but he was born in a manger. His daddy was a carpenter. We know his mama. We know his brothers and sisters. We know him. We know that those disciples came and stole the body. That's common knowledge now. We know that. Much learning doth make thee mad. You've gone crazy. You've learned too much. You've studied too much. You're crazy." This morning, if God says storm, you better bat down the hatches. You better find a place of safety. Paul said, "Look, the storm is coming. We better not get on that ship. God does not want us on the ship." But it just makes sense. Let's get on the ship. You know the Bible says this: don't fear those that can destroy the body, but fear the one that can cast body and soul into hell. That's what we better fear. You better pay attention to these lost sinners. They need Jesus. If you're here and you're lost, you better pay attention to your lost soul. You're lost and undone before Almighty God. And we come into this world created to bring God glory. Man failed. God gave us a plan that we could be saved and become the sons of God. If you're lost, it's urgent that you trust Christ. Look over at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. Verse 13. What I just ask you to do is turn to the back of the book. Let's go to the end. Everybody wants to look at the here and now. What's happening to me right now? What's going to happen to us in a month? What's going to happen to this country in a few years? That's what everybody's focused on right now. Let's turn to the back of the book when it's all wrapped up. When it's all said and done. Listen at this, verse 13. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." You know the Bible says this, every one of us is going to die. You cannot avoid that. We have an appointment with death. It is appointed unto man once to die. You may miss an appointment. And I've missed a few along the way, make an appointment and decide, you know what, I don't think I need to make that appointment. I'm going to just cancel it. You have an appointment with death, you can't cancel. In the end, verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they that were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It is not appointed unto man to die the second death. It's appointed unto man once to die. The second death is one you choose. It is one that you choose yourself. It is not appointed unto you. I want to warn you this morning. You don't want to die the second death. Listen at it. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's real. Fact check it. It's real. Lost sinner, let me help you. Your soul is in danger of being cast into a lake of fire. That's on a different level than the things most people have on their mind right now. These are the things that ought to bring tears to our eyes. If your name is not written in the book of life, you are going to be cast into the lake of fire. You will experience the second death, and it's eternal. I have eternal life this morning. You choose the second death, you'll have eternal death. Eternal death in a lake of fire. And see, the sad thing is the false narrative out there of this world would have you to believe there are more pressing concerns than this. What could be more pressing than a soul that lives forever, that or that dies forever? How do you term that? To be cast into a lake of fire, into outer darkness, outside the presence of Almighty God. But the world say, oh, I tell you what, that's just crazy. It's crazy to think that way. I mean, look at the sickness. So, Brother Brad, I've had very much trouble with this sickness. I've lost people. Yep. I have too. I tell you what, death come up, though, before we ever knew anything about COVID. You know what I said just before COVID come around? You know what I said? I am sick and tired of hearing about cancer. That's what I said. I said every time I go to church, it seems like somebody mentions cancer. Somebody got cancer. I said, I hate cancer. I wish I didn't have to hear cancer no more. You know what? We got to a place now where you don't hear much about cancer. But to look at the sickness, it's bad. Don't get me wrong. It's bad. It can wipe out a community for a few weeks. Some end up in the hospitals. Some, I've been to a funeral. And I'm not in no way trying to get anybody upset about it this morning. So, Brother Brad, look at the nations. I mean, my goodness, look at what's going on in the world right now. We've got a president that's making some very unpopular decisions. And it's just in a mess. It is. I do not deny that. I know it is. I tell you what, I've been preaching out of a Bible now for 19 years. God said it was coming. 19 years ago, I knew we was going to see perilous times. I didn't know how, what it was going to look like. I thought I was in them then. I thought I was in perilous times 19 years ago. So, Brother Brad, just look at how horrible things are in this world, all over the world. Look at how horrible it is. I'm not denying this morning, but this world groans out because of sin. So don't deny the root cause of it. I tell you what, the problem's over here, the problem's over there. Sin is the problem, and that's within all of us. And that's the reason Jesus died. so that we can be saved and delivered from it. Sin is the sting of death. I'm so thankful that for me, death does not have a sting like it used to. This world groans out because of sin. You need to have those shackles broken today so that you're not cast into a lake of fire. You need to have your name written down. I don't know what that book looks like. I don't know anything about it. But I know this, if the Lord wanted to go grab it off the shelf and turn to the O's, He's going to find Brad O'Neill there. He can go check the facts. It's there. It's written down. He has it. There's a record where Brad O'Neill trusted Jesus. I hope everybody in here can say the same thing. But, oh, lost sinner, listen. Will you trust in Jesus, believe in the truth. He's the only truth that can save your soul. Without Him, life would be hopeless. Without Him, how lost you truly are. This morning, with a burden on my heart, trust Him while you have time and opportunity. Trust Him to deliver you from the fire. Trust Him as your Savior. Let Him write your name down in His book. He opens the books. There's a book that's got my life's works in it as well. He's writing down those, recording those things. I want Him to be able to look in that and say, well done, thou good and faithful. I know He's Jesus. He don't have to look in a book. He don't have to, but it says He's got some, so I just picture Him using them. This morning you may say, preacher, I tell you what, you sound foolish. It's through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. You could be saved this morning. You could. You could surrender your all and just trust Jesus. And that's a fact. You could. When it's God's truth, it has power. No matter who comes along and fact checks it, it will stand. God will do the final fact check from His book, from His holy, precious word. We're going to be judged. And judgment will be laid to the line, and it'll be laid to the plummet. It's going to be accurate. It's not going to be judgment like we have come to find in our corrupt system today. It's not going to be whoever can pay the lawyer the most money gets what they want. It's not going to be pay off the judge and you'll get something. And I know they're not all corrupt. I don't want to stereotype anyone. But whenever we should come before the Lord, it's all going to be said and done. It's accurate. It's the truth. It's a fact. This morning, I would if you believe the truth. If you believe the truth, you'd be saved this morning. You can continue on. You can get all your ducks in a row. Keep chasing them. I hope you don't. You keep chasing these ducks. You never will get them all in a row. You never will. The Lord will come back. You'll still be chasing them. You can worry about everything else in the world. One day, you'll stand before the Lord. One day, you're going to give an account. If you've not trusted Jesus, you will be cast into a lake of fire. No questions asked. You will. But if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, your name's already been written down. If you trust Him this morning, He's right at that. You get to go to heaven. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
to know that no matter what happens in this life, no matter what,
you already got that took care of. You've already made preparation to go to glory, to go to heaven, go be with the Lord, go be with our loved ones that have gone on before, to have a happy, glad reunion day. It's going to be wonderful. Won't it be wonderful there? We've sung about it all our life. We're going to get to experience it. Come go with us. Last for something.